Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, The Game, live from the Wholesale Link studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson, and the Tennessee Titans are playing for the stinking Super Bowl on Sunday against Kansas City, a sentence I still cannot believe is coming out of my mouth. Enjoy the ride. What a couple of weeks it has been for the Tennessee Titans. Corey Curtis joining us here as the Ravens fall 28-12 at the hands of the Titans, and Dean Pease and Derrick Henry on Saturday evening. Corey, just explain what's going through your head as you watch the third and fourth quarter unfold.
Well, I think I've said this a few times. You know, you set up the keys to victory for every game. I always give three. You know, there's probably five, six, seven, eight of them for this football game that you could have mapped out. And they checked every single box for this game. It was really a masterful performance by the coaching staff and by the players. I mean, they came out ready, and they did everything that they absolutely needed to do. And, you know, you look at some of the statistic anomalies that are just crazy. You know, I think I tweeted out early in the fourth quarter, I said there's a real possibility that Ryan Tannehill's going to throw for less than 100 yards in both games and be 2-0 in the playoffs. And it's not really on Ryan Tannehill so much, just kind of for whatever reason, how these games are playing out. And, you know, you think about just how far Derrick Henry has come from the player he was his first 2.5 seasons. It's staggering. And, you know, how far this team comes. You know, I'm. You know, we do this every Monday, and at 2-4, I had no hope for this team because, you know, this game is won in the trenches, and their offensive line was so bad that I didn't have any hopes of them getting it turned around. And now they've got the NFL rushing champion. I think they've given up maybe nine sacks in the last six games. Maybe 10 sacks in the last six games. I mean, just so many things have gone right, and so many things went right. It was just, it was unrecognizable.
Talk a little bit, Dean Pease and this defense. They've been able to, the last two games, they've been able to take away the strengths of both teams, whether it be New England in a passing game or their screen game, or Baltimore in this run game. They forced Baltimore to get away from their run game, which was surprising, but you got to credit a lot of that to what the defense was able to do in Dean Pease.
Yeah, well, look, going into this game, there were a few hopes, and one of which was that Baltimore would come out a little bit rusty, which I think they did. I think 3 weeks of no real competitive football for them made a difference. But, you know, one of the other things I kept pointing to and others pointed to was this Dean Pease, Greg Roman scenario. You know, they faced each other in the Super Bowl when Pease was the Baltimore defensive coordinator and Roman was in San Francisco, and Pease won. They played each other the next season and Pease won. And thought, you know, maybe Pease has some of the secret sauce to beat this football team. And I mean, you know, getting up 14-0 had a lot to do with it, because when Lamar Jackson has to throw it, and when you can play pass first against Lamar Jackson, it's a completely different scenario. So a lot of things went right in that regard, but they had a plan, and they made that plan work. I mean, it was incredible.
Corey Curtis joining us here, News 2. Is there anything you can point to? I mean, listen, we're going to talk about Arthur Smith and Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and the defensive line and Dean Pease and Mike Vrabel. Is there anything you can point to that is an intangible, a culture thing that starts with John Robinson 4 years ago, culminates with a switch of coaching staffs after a playoff win and a trip to the divisional round? Is there anything about the makeup of this locker room that you can put into words that describes why this is happening right now?
I think toughness, you know, resiliency is a word, because, you know, this team can take a punch and keep moving forward. You know, they didn't really take that punch this last week, but when things get hard, it's okay for this team, you know, because just look at the short yardage scenarios. Baltimore comes into the game 8-for-8 on 4th-and-1. They went 0-for-2 in this game. When there's a yard to fight over, this team's really good. I mean, go back to the Charger game. Go back to New England. And I think that toughness is now showing up in the red zone, because in the red zone, defensively, this team wasn't very good all season long. And in the postseason, they've been absolutely fantastic defensively. They're 2-for-7 in the red zone on defense this year. I mean, in the postseason. I mean, they've only given up 2 touchdowns and 7 red zone trips. So their toughness when things get hard has been really good.
Yeah, it has been. You know, 2 fourth-down stops in this game in particular. And I think,
Four fourth-down stops.
But the one that was, I thought that was a game changer, and you can tell me if you have the same sentiment, when Baltimore was down 14-6, if they kicked the field goal on Tennessee's 18, I think it's 14-9, and it's a different ball game. But Tennessee stops them, they change field position, and then 2 drives later they get the sack fumble. And that really kind of opened up the game for them. It was 21-6 at that point. And they don't allow Baltimore to do what they want to do, and that's run the football.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to when it's 7-0, and you get the stop on 4th-and-1, and bam, you hit him with Khalif Raymond on the next play. I mean, I thought that was the one. That once you put him down 14-0, you really put them on their heels. And how about another one? You give up the big strike to Marquise Brown right before the half. They got one more shot to score a touchdown there.
Yep.
If it's, and you don't give it up. You don't give it up. It could have been 14-10, Baltimore getting the ball to start the second half. Instead, it's 14-6. Instead, you've still got that 8-point lead. So when you had all those critical scenarios, like the one you're talking about, Mace, they came up with the answers defensively that didn't allow Baltimore to creep back in, didn't allow Baltimore to apply any kind of pressure. When Baltimore pushed, they pushed back harder.
Corey Curtis joining us here, News 2. And yeah, I think there's probably, you know, who knows, 24 plays you could point to as the play of the game. I you know, the one I look at personally is you go up 21-6 and then Jarrell Casey on the very first play of the game in Baltimore, or of the drive in Baltimore territory, gets the strip sack. And then, of course, that leads to the 28-6 lead. And I think it was it was fitting that Jarrell Casey had one of the biggest games of his career in one of the most critical spots of his career, a guy who's been here through a lot of losing. I just think it was really appropriate and fun to see, frankly, that Jarrell Casey got to sort of shine on a national stage the way he did and play such a huge role.
I agree with you completely, Braden. It's a point that I've brought up since Sunday night. That, you know, people always ask me, do you root for the Titans? And I say, you root for the guys. You get to know the guys. And look, Jarrell Casey's a fantastic player who could have left this organization. He could have said, forget this nonsense. I'm going somewhere else. But he didn't. He stayed here. I did an interview with him about this 1 year before the preseason where we talked about this in depth, staying here to build something. He wasn't a quitter. He wasn't going to turn his back on this team. He was going to lead it out of the abyss that it was in. And to see him rewarded now with 5 playoff games in 3 years, an AFC championship, and you're absolutely right, in the biggest game of his professional life, he comes out with 2 sacks, a strip sack, one that ends the game. You know, this is stuff he'll remember his entire life. You know, it's not the birth of his child. It's not his wedding day. But professionally, this is big, and you like to see great players rewarded with great moments and great opportunities, and he's getting his now, and he was great in this football game. I mean, he was really, really good. To get Lamar Jackson on the ground twice is something. To get the ball away from him is even more incredible. He was great. It was a great night for him. I remember seeing his wife and Wesley Woodyard's wife on the field before the game. They were getting hyped up with fans. I mean, you know, this game means a lot to a lot of people, and I know Mace can tell you, when you're young, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, Corey Davis, you know, these guys, you know, all they know is this team goes to the playoffs, right? Yeah. I mean, Corey Davis is in for the second time in 3 years, and he's playing in his fifth playoff game already. Well, Jarrell Casey, you know, Brett Kern, they know it's not that easy.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you're happy for those guys. And the guy's been a great player for this team, so it's good to see.
I guess I have to ask you about Derrick Henry, Corey, and that just is – and I mean, listen, he's 32 carries, 34 carries, 30 carries, almost 600 yards in three elimination games. I mean, outside of McNair and Eddie George and, of course, my co-host here, I don't – you know, from a popularity standpoint, again, you mentioned the first 2.5 years of his career has been very different than it has been the last year and a half. But from a popularity standpoint, I'm not sure – and it's fun to see him come out of his shell a little bit too. From, you know, he's dressed in more flashy. He's got more things to say in the press conference. He's gaining sort of a persona as well in this process. I think it's fun to see his development from a popularity standpoint. Is he not already, you know, a top five, top eight Titan of all time?
Well, it's incredible because he was extremely popular when he was terrible. but look, what he's doing now is incredible. I mean, he flipped a switch at the end of last season, and we all asked all off-season long, which Derrick Henry are we going to see? Is he going to be the one that finished the year, or is it going to be the guy that he was the first 2.5 years? And it was neither, because it's a guy who's even better. I mean, he is so much better than he was to even finish last year. He has been, you know, this battering ram that and the speed, you know, is unbelievable. But just to watch him hit the line – and to watch him own defenses. I mean, this is Baltimore. It's freaking Baltimore. You're in Baltimore. They play defense, and they know he's coming, and they can't do anything about it. And you're right, Titan fans absolutely love him. And they may have loved Chris Johnson, you know, for those few seasons, but this is different. And I think I said – after last week, you know, this is his team. By that I mean, when you think of this team now, he's the identity of this team. He is what you think of with this football team. He's that Reggie Jackson straw that stirs the drink. I mean, he's it. And, you know, you got to do it for more than 1.25 seasons, but I think it's going to be fun to watch what happens in the next few years, because, you know, we started the year, you know, with him playing well, and we're thinking, how much is it going to cost to bring him back next year? And we're like, okay, probably like $6 to $8 million. And then the year kind of goes on, and that number keeps going up. And now you're wondering, is he going to have to be the highest paid running back in football? Because that's a real possibility.
Well, it's been absolutely remarkable. Corey, thank you so much, man, and enjoy another week of this nonsense.
Yeah, it's crazy, but that's what makes sports great. I always say it's the ultimate reality show, and it's incredible.
Thank you, Corey. Appreciate it.
All right.
Corey Curtis, News 2. Derrick Henry, listen, Dean Pease, star of the show. Arthur Smith needs some credit. Ryan Tannehill's been great. But Derrick Henry is the man. How spectacular has he been? His numbers, his performance, can he keep it up, and can they do it again? We'll continue to discuss Derrick Henry's ride in the postseason when we come back right here on Morning Drive.
To the men listeners out there, I've been telling you this for several years now about my good friends over at Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with their experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men in the Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin, and surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune systems, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And there's no better time now to achieve a healthy lifestyle. What are you waiting on, man? Give Cool Springs MD a call to make an appointment. Here's the number, 615-486-3458. That's 615-486-3458. Or visit the website, coolspringsmd.com.
Yeah, I guess there is a national championship game tonight. Your home right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, official home of the college football playoff. LSU and Clemson will play for the national championship. Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow, two undefeated teams, as good a national title game as we might ever have. Let's hope it lives up to the hype, because we've had, from Thursday to right now, we've had a spectacular weekend in sports for Nashville as I can remember. Pekka Rinne scores the first goal in the NHL since 2013. The Titans do the unthinkable on Saturday night and go up to Baltimore and exercise a lot of demons in a dominant defensive performance and play in their third AFC championship game in franchise history, their first since 2002. It's been two decades since we've been able to say the Tennessee Titans are one win away from the Super Bowl. And Derrick Henry, listen, Dean Pease gets a ton of credit. I think he's been the MVP. I think the defensive job against Lamar Jackson and Tom Brady is the reason they are there. But there are so many other reasons, so many other people in that organization and on that team that deserve credit, including the quarterback, the defensive line, you know, Kevin Byer, Taylor Lewan, the offensive line, you name it. But Derrick Henry right now is doing things that no running back in the history of the league has done. Three consecutive games, over 180 yards rushing, 32 carries, 211 yards, three touchdowns against Houston in a win-or-go-home situation. I don't care who played. I don't care if they didn't try. 34 carries, 182 yards, and a touchdown on the road against New England. 30 carries, 195 yards, and a passing touchdown from about 14 feet in the air to beat the Baltimore Ravens 14-2 on the road to get to the AFC title game. Derek, this is you said Derrick Henry's going to lead the AFC in rushing. He's not only done that, he's doubled that. He led the NFL in rushing, and now he's carried his team to the AFC championship game.
Well, I think the most important thing he's done is led the league in rushing yardage and attempts and yards per average in the playoffs. And if you want to play your best football, you want to play it during the playoffs. Well, he's been playing his best football all year season, and it just spilled over into the playoffs. I think now they're starting to ride him more and more, and they plan on, if they don't get a ball 230 times, it's a disappointment to that team, because they know that they got to play these type of games. They got to, in you know, in the playoffs, you got to play sort of keep away. You got to play really good defense and then be able to run the football. So if they're not giving the ball to him 30 times, I think they believe that's a disappointment. It's not who they are as an offense. It's not what they want to do. They want to give it to him 30-plus times, and they want Tannehill to throw the ball 15, you know, 18 times a game. Will they have to do it this upcoming week? I don't know, because I thought they were going to have to do it last week. They didn't have to do it last week.
Yeah.
They might not have to do it this week if Derrick Henry continues to run the football the way he's running. And, you know, based upon Kansas City's run defense, now they've been playing good as of late, so you never know. But Baltimore was playing good, too, and New England right. was playing good, too. So, right. you know, it's hard to stop them. It's one thing to game plan for them, but then mm-hmm. it's hard to stop them once you're out there.
Oh, everybody's got a plan, right? Says Tyson, Earl Thomas. Has anybody ordered the shirt yet, by the way? Because I asked my wife yesterday, I said, would you go in public with me if I wore a shirt that said, eat Earl? would you? She said, I'm not sure. And then I had to explain the story to her that Earl Thomas said, no, we're not going to be like the Patriots. We got no problem tackling Derrick Henry in the fourth quarter. It turns out, you know, it's kind of hard to tackle Derrick Henry in the fourth quarter when he's been rolling. He's only had 30 carries in a game four times in his entire career. The last three games, he's had over 30 carries. Does anyone think he said something different on national TV in that interview? Does anyone think he said, like, good bleep, Earl? Like, does anyone think he was giving Earl props there? Or do you think it was eat bleep, Earl? I've listened to it 100 times. I can't tell what he says.
I don't know. I mean, it's the game plan for him is one thing. It's just like, you know, Tennessee game planning for Lamar Jackson. It's different when you got a game plan for him and you can actually go out there and play him. You know, but they were able to sort of contain him. You know, they didn't let, you know, his big play ability to break their backs. Now, he made some plays in that game. You can't stop him from making plays. but they contain them, they minimize them. Well, it's a different story when you're going against Derrick Henry and you're trying to tackle him. Do I think they gave up Baltimore? No, but I just think once you've worn down, you know, once you ran the ball that many times and, you know, the game starts to get, you know, longer and longer, you know, I don't care if you do want to make the tackle. You're not going to make it. I mean, when you go up against somebody that's 240 pounds and you're, you know, 200 pounds or 210, I mean, there's only so many times you can come up and make that hit. And early on in the game, they were hitting them and, you know, whatnot. But as they got later in the game, you know, those hits that they were making that was stopping them, now he's just, you know, bouncing off of them. Your body's not coming as hard as it was, you know, in the first quarter, because you're worn down throughout the game and you spent a lot of time on that field, the Baltimore defense. So, you know, whether he was, I don't know what he was doing as far as what he was saying to Earl Thomas, but, you know, it's you went out there and you played your game.
Oh, yeah.
You ran the ball hard and physical. And, you know, when his defensive back's trying to tackle you or safety's trying to tackle you, I mean, eventually, when you're 240-pound backs, eventually you're going to win that matchup.
Yep.
I don't care who the safety is. I don't care if it's the best safety in the NFL, which Earl Thomas is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, eventually physics wins.
Yeah.
And it won.
I don't remember seeing too many guys stiff-armed in their nameplate before. You don't see that too often where you throw one stiff arm and then he throws another stiff arm into his nameplate on his back. And then that's where apparently the quote from Derrick Henry, because he stared down Earl Thomas after that run, you know, it kicks it back to the right side. And he says, good to see you, Earl. And that's funny. But again, the post-game interview on national TV, it sounds a lot like he's he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would say eat bleep Earl on national TV. But Derrick Henry's coming out of his shell a little bit, and I think it's really cool to see, because he's always been kind of a quiet guy who, you know, hangs out at home. And Marquise, you had class with Derrick Henry, so this is not a guy who loves the spotlight, craves the camera, wants to be in front of it, wants to run his mouth. That's not the kind of guy he is. But to see him sort of, you know, now he's getting on the plane with a little flashier wardrobe, and he's more comfortable doing press conferences. You can see the confidence coming to him, and he's about to get a lot of money. And if he can do one more 30 carry game, there's a chance this team is in the stinking Super Bowl, which is just unbelievable. And Derrick Henry deserves a lot of credit for it.
Yeah, he does. This team, you know, they've committed to Derrick Henry, and they've committed to running the football. And when you have that type of commitment, I think you're going to reap some reward from it. Everybody's bought into, listen, we got to run the football. I mean, there's no other way we're going to win football games in the playoffs unless we run the football. Hell, there's no other way we're going to win the football games, period, unless we commit to running the football. And they committed to doing just that. So it's going to be hard for teams to, you know, there's one thing to you know, for a team to commit, and then once the score kind of gets away from you, you know, are you still willing to commit to what you are about as a team? And, well, the Tennessee Titans are willing to commit to that, regardless of if they're out of the game or not. If they're up or down, it doesn't matter. You see Baltimore quickly got out of their comfort zone, and it worked in Tennessee's favor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tennessee didn't get out of theirs, so it didn't work in Baltimore's favor.
It reminds me, you guys remember that Marshawn Lynch interview where he says, like, you know, when you run somebody over and over.
When you
and
run through
over,
their face? Yeah. What did he say, like run through their head or run through their face?
He said run through a blank's face.
Oh.
But he was like, you just keep running over somebody over and over and over. They just can't take it anymore. So that's what that reminds me of. Just you keep running Derrick Henry and over and over and over. And then it just, you know, at the end of the game in third, fourth quarter, you just don't know what to do with it anymore.
Well, and it's why first half starts are so important for this team. If they are in the game at halftime, within a score at halftime, you don't have to go away from him. And that is so critically important to go up 14-0 in Baltimore on the road was so critically important. And here's another question, and we'll get to this when we come back, and that is, listen, the national conversation around the Titans' win over the Patriots was about Tom Brady. You just got to expect that, all right? It's the greatest dynasty in modern football history, maybe in football history, and for it to be maybe his last game, you went up there and won that game, you got to expect them nationally to cover Tom Brady as the story. I get that. Certainly Lamar Jackson and the number one rushing offense in history, the 14-2 Ravens losing, they're going to be a big story, and you're probably not going to get enough credit if you're a Titans fan or a Titans player or a Titans team. The question I have, because Marlon Humphrey, former Alabama player and Baltimore Raven corner, said, we choked. And our sort of MO now is being chokers. And I'd like to know if people think that's fair, or if the national media is going to pick up on that, or if we just need to step back and give one team credit for getting a W. We'll get to that when we come back right here, Morning Drive. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Tennessee Titans are in the AFC Championship game. Still an impossibly difficult sentence to understand is taking place, but what an unbelievable ride as the Titans win 28-12 over Baltimore on Saturday evening, holding Lamar Jackson to his lowest point total ever as a professional starting quarterback in the NFL. 25 career starts, only been held under 20 points twice in his entire career. Both of those are in playoff games, which raises the question about what the conversation around this team's going to be, of course, this game in the national landscape, which, again, is irrelevant to Titans fans and certainly irrelevant to Titans players. But Marlon Humphrey, cornerback for the Baltimore Ravens, says, listen, in our meeting, we're chokers. He said it to the media. We choked. 2 years in a row, people look at us and they think we've choked. And so I don't know if that's fair. That feels like an overreaction. Derek, I think certainly with Lamar Jackson, he's played two playoff games. I think we need to pump the brakes on like having some sort of career-defining, you know, analysis of Lamar Jackson. He's got his whole career left ahead of him to win playoff games. I think it's an overreaction. Did the Baltimore Ravens choke on Saturday night, or did the Tennessee Titans play a perfect football game and force them into their worst performance of the season?
I don't think they choked, you know, and I'm pretty sure if Marlon Humphreys, he thought about it today, he probably wish he could have not said that. I don't think they choked. I don't think they played bad football. And maybe he said he was saying the defense choked. And if that is the case, then he's a defensive player. And, you know, maybe they just didn't play up to the level of defense that they're accustomed to. And if that's the case, then, you know, you can see why he would say, well, we choked. But you can't make a blanket statement like that. That's a statement that can, you know, permeate through the organization, through the team. And, you know, it can, you know, do some unintended damage to a team that seemed to be headed in the right direction. I just think, you know, Tennessee, I think they made mistakes in that game that were costly. And, you know, it's not about how many mistakes you make necessarily. It's about when you make those mistakes, because, you know, you look at Houston and Kansas City. Kansas City made all their mistakes in the first half, first quarter. And then Houston made all theirs after that and gave Kansas City an opportunity to come back. Well, Tennessee didn't make any mistakes, and Baltimore made theirs in inopportune times. They're at the 18-yard line. They can't convert on fourth and one. They're driving the ball, and the ball tips out of the tight end's hands. Lamar Jackson, instead of running the ball, he holds on to it, you know, an extra second too long, and he gets a strip sack. Then he throws an errant pass later on in the game, and they're down in Tennessee's territory. So it's not necessarily the turnovers, but it's when you make those turnovers that tend to be the demise of your team. I don't think they choked. I don't think they came out flat, honestly, contrary to, you know, Corey said. Yeah,
they were just almost going to go down the field until
they
tip pass.
They moved down the field, and they didn't have a problem necessarily moving the ball. It's just that, you know, the things that they were doing during the season that they hung their hat on, Tennessee stopped it. You know, they were the best fourth down team in the league.
Yep.
Well, Tennessee stopped that. and they were the best run team in the league. Well, they still got over, you know, almost 200 yards rushing, but it's they kept him contained.
Yep.
And then, you know, Ingram didn't play, so that's another blow. But I don't think they choke. I just think Tennessee, you know, they made plays when they needed to, and, you know, they did exactly what the game plan called for.
So Marlon Humphrey said after the game, you know, that the identity of the Baltimore Ravens is they choke in the playoffs. And then he came back Sunday after their final team meeting, the Ravens' final team meeting, and he said, quote, "I stand by that. It actually was what I was thinking about on the sideline. It's crazy. You are what you show on paper, and you are what you show on the field, and that's what we've shown on the field." And, you know, again, he continues on here, Marlon Humphrey, Baltimore Ravens cornerback, after the loss. This is on Sunday, again, not postgame, but after his final team meeting. Quote, "I think you have to look at yourself in the mirror. I think this team's identity right now is to get into the playoffs and choke. It is what it is. It's just the hard truth." I think it's a little dramatic. That's me now talking. I think it's a little harsh, and like you said, Derek, there could be some – I'm sure there's some teammates that probably had a word with him about it or something like that. But at 14-2, as a 10.5-point favorite to score 12 points – and to give up 28 and to lose at home to a quarterback who threw 7 completions, and, you know, and again, the Titans were great. I don't think it's choking, but any time you are 14-2 and a heavy favorite in the playoffs and you lose at home, people are going to talk about how you failed. That's just going to be a part of the conversation. It's important that we remember, and I don't know if the national media will do this or not. Again, who cares? That the Titans earned it. That the Titans created this, that Dean Pease had a great defense, that Art Smith called a great game, that Ryan Tannehill made huge plays when he needed to, that Derrick Henry is a freaking monster, that the reason that these guys quote-unquote choked is because the Titans played a great football game. And I think that's – I think it can be both. But, again, those are strong words from a Ravens defensive back about their performance. Now 2 years in a row. Again, Lamar Jackson didn't play great, but – again, I think the end of the Lamar era conversation is just so stupid because he's only played 2 games. Like he's played 2 playoff games. Let's not bury the guy after 2 playoff games and define his career because of 2 performances. I think there's
and also a lot of receivers. A lot of receivers drop passes too.
That would be considered choking though. Unfortunately, when you drop passes. Here's the problem though. Like again, this is like Ryan Tannehill. If you were to define Ryan Tannehill by his first 7 or 8 seasons in the NFL, you would say average to mediocre quarterback who can't stay healthy and get his team to the postseason. Well, that's clearly not the way it is this year. So I just think you got to give the Titans credit more than you got to blame the Ravens for choking. I just think that's – I like what Marlon Humphrey says there because he's taking some blame, but that goes a little far for me.
That's not taking blame. That's just, you know – I don't know what it is. Again,
being emotional, maybe,
you know,
just
yeah,
angry.
This is something that, you know, you would have never heard from, you know, a Baltimore Raven team, you know, 5, 10 years ago. They would have just said, "Listen, we didn't come out and play. We didn't play the way that we are accustomed to playing. You know, they play better than us. We've had turnovers." And they capitalize on our turnovers. That has nothing, cause that has nothing to do with them choking. I think that has everything to do with, you know, things happening in the game. You know, because I'm pretty sure they had some of those things happen in the game during the regular season, and you know they were able to overcome whatever mistake or you know being down a touchdown, whatever the case may be. I just don't think this team choked. I think the Titans were just...
Titans were better.
Titans played better football.
Mm-hmm.
And they made the best of whatever opportunity Baltimore ended up giving them. You know, it's I don't know. Humphreys, I mean, he could say what he wanted to say, but I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, those guys, you know, regroup and do whatever they need to do, but... You know, I think he should have just gave a lot of the credit to Tennessee. He should have just said they played a better game than we did.
Yeah.
You know, and just left it as that.
Well, so. And Marlon Humphrey is a guy who comes from Alabama, which is all about Saban and accountability. And so he's probably extra hard and extra, you know, robotic and hard on himself. And that's the way it is. Your phone calls when we come back, 615-737-1025. What was going through your head, of course, when you saw this game play out on Saturday night? It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen in Nashville sports history. I don't know how to quantify it. I don't know what list to put it on. I don't know where to rank it. I don't know any of those things. So if you guys want to chime in, I'd love to hear from you. It is one of the most remarkable sports stories in the history of this city. That I know I can say. Nate, Tony, all you guys lined up on the phone line, 615-737-1025. We don't take a lot of calls on this show. We will today because history happened on Saturday night, and we're talking about it right here on Morning Drive. There is a national championship game that's taking place tonight between two dominant programs and great quarterbacks and two elite programs, Clemson and LSU. Coverage again tonight only on ESPN 102.5 The Game, LSU and Clemson. Game starts around 7, I believe, give or take. There's always like a bunch of pregame festivities in that stinking thing. It always keeps me up late on a Monday night. But it's been like 18 days since the semifinal, so it feels like that game is out of sight, out of mind. As the Titans, of course, have captured everybody's attention with a win over the Ravens, 28-12. On Saturday evening, this is Morning Drive. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here live from the Wholesale Inc. studio powered by RumbleOn.com. We'll take some phone calls here. I almost did it. 615-737-1025. Nate wants to chime in. Nate, what's up?
Morning, guys. That was a great game on Saturday night. I really don't know how to explain it because I was definitely not expecting that. Whatever this team is feeding off of, which I hope it's outside noise, I keep feeding it to them. Y'all said that you don't think that the Ravens choked. I don't care what the truth is. The national media better say something like that. Because if they do, I bet the team will feed off of it.
You mean, okay, so that's an interesting theory, Nate. And I appreciate the call, bud. I don't know how much motivation you need as a professional athlete. And Derek, you say this all the time. Like, when the rubber hits the road, when you get out on the field and you're in the moment, like, you shouldn't need a coach's head in the back of your mind. You shouldn't need a media member's motivation. It's up to you as a professional athlete to get yourself motivated. But people are human beings, and they can't help but feel differently when someone tells them they can't do something. And it only helps the Titans that everyone in around the country doesn't really talk about this team. They talk about the Patriots when the Titans beat them. They talk about Lamar Jackson, and the headlines are Lamar Jackson's shut down as Titans win. Like, it's already all over the place. It only is going to help. I don't think it means you win a game because of it, but it only helps from a psychological standpoint. I mean, it has to have some tiny sliver of truth to it.
Whether it does or not, I don't know, because, I mean, you know, if you lose the game, you can't. I mean, I'm pretty sure they tried to use it as motivation if you lose the game. So they don't see that as, you know, oh, just because we won, it was because of, you know, nobody gave us a chance. No, you won because ultimately you went out there and you played better football than the team you're playing against. It has nothing to do with, you know, a team, you know, being favored to win or being favored to lose. Kansas City was favored to win, and they won. San Fran was favored to win, and they won. So you can't use, I don't think that's anything that's tangible. I think that's just something you use if you win the game. Well, we were an underdogs, and we used that to fuel
right,
us.
Right.
No, you use the prospect of you moving on to the next round as fuel for you, to motivate you. You didn't use because everybody doubted you. Well, no, not everybody doubted you. Your fan base believed in you. And
Adam from Portland, baby.
Yeah, there were people.
Shout out to Adam from Portland.
There were people on the national stage that said, you know, if you guys do this, then you got an opportunity to win. And you did those things. Yeah. So it had nothing to do with, oh, they counted us out and this and that. Believe me, there have been a bunch of teams that have been counted out and they hadn't won games. So,
yeah.
You know, you can use it for whatever.
I think that's right. And I think the other angle on this Kansas City game, which we'll talk about obviously basically for the entire week as they head into the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs, who, by the way, had a monstrous comeback, 51-7 run to end the game in their game against Houston to host the AFC Championship game next weekend against the Titans. The fact that the Kansas City Chiefs won the first matchup, I think helps Kansas City. I'm sorry, that the Titans won the matchup, I think helps the Chiefs. How much does it out? Does it change the outcome of the game? Probably not. Probably not a lot. But that counterbalances the fact that the Titans are a 7.5-point underdog, and no one's going to pick them to win this game. Everyone's, after watching what Mahomes and that offense did yesterday in the second half against Houston, everyone's going to pick Kansas City just the way everyone picked Baltimore, just the way almost everybody picked New England. And even during the New England week, there was a lot more love for the Titans than I expected nationally. And so this team needs to use it for motivation. If there's one guy in that locker room that plays better because of it, then great. It's fine. I don't think anyone should care about it. The players and the – I don't think anyone should care what Marlon Humphrey has to say or, you know, what talking heads have to say, what our show has to say. It doesn't matter. You go out and you handle your business. And so I think the fact that the Titans beat the Chiefs is a small element that helps the Chiefs stay motivated. It also means that Arthur Smith and Ryan Tannehill and that offense, for the first time all season, because I don't count the Houston Texans game, will have to face somebody planning for them that's already seen them. It's the first time that they're going to have to face somebody a second time, because the Colts game and the Jags game were both Mariota starts at the beginning of the year. So it'll be the first time that an entire defensive scheme and game plan has already seen the Ryan Tannehill, Art Smith version of this Titans offense. So that helps a little bit. But again, this is about who goes out and executes on Sunday. And so we'll see. I'm with you, Derek. I think it matters, but only if you let it. Tony, what's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well, guys. Good morning. I just wanted to you kind of said it just in your last sentence was that the Titans went out and executed, and I don't really think Baltimore choked. I think that Tennessee was the better prepared team, and they executed their game plan to perfection. And I mean, the only thing I see Baltimore choking is, I think, John Harbaugh choked a little bit in, the moments of making decisions, but they should have known that Tennessee has been one of the better short yardage defenses. And I think, them going for it on those short yardages was a mistake in the heat of the game. And they should have known that Dean Pease was going to have this, a really good game plan. The Ravens really did not seem to have a, after they couldn't do what they needed to do or what they planned on doing, they didn't have a plan B. And to me, that's on the Ravens coaching staff. And kudos to the Titans, because, when they had their opportunities, they made the most of it. I mean, that call for the deep pass after the 4th-and-1 stop and the Derrick Henry jump pass were, just really, really good play calls at the right time.
100% agree, Tony. And I will say Lamar Jackson, I don't want to say rattled, but he did make some mistakes. And so I think that's fair to say. But again, that's the Titans forcing him into a few mistakes. Kenny Vaccaro making a great play on a bad throw. Not everybody makes the great play on a bad throw. Quarterbacks make bad throws all the time. I mean, I saw Kevin King last night for the Packers drop an interception that was right in his hands. I mean, it happens all the time. And the Titans didn't make any mistakes. They made every play they had to. And I think, again, I just got a tweet from Bruce saying, you seem like you're pushing the narrative about being the Ravens choking instead of the Titans. No, that's literally the opposite of what I think. I think the Titans deserve all the credit for playing a perfect football game. They went out there and executed their game against an elite opponent on the road in a hostile environment and came away with a win because they played a complete football game. Everybody contributed and executed perfectly.
Yeah, I don't think it had anything to do with Baltimore choking. But, I mean, if you're looking at it and you're just being objective, I think John Harbaugh, I don't think he was playing more so like the regular season instead of the playoffs. Playoffs is all about field position and, making the best of your opportunities when they come up, especially in the playoffs, and not making any mistakes. I think, those fourth down plays, I think he was playing more so, which, I mean, listen, that's your identity and you're going to go for it.
Right, you did it all year.
Yeah, you did it all year. But I think in those situations, you got to make calls based on how you feel your team is playing and the ramifications if you don't get it. I think you punt the ball and then play field position from there. because what you do now is you put your defense right back on the field. And, you know, and not just right back on the field, it's a short field. You know, so I think it was the combination of John Harbaugh, which I was surprised, I'll tell you that right now, I was truly surprised by those two calls they made, and the Tennessee Titans defense. You make the calls, which I was surprised about, but the Tennessee Titans did what, exactly what they've been doing all year, is stopping teams on you know, fourth and goal. And you can't run that play if you don't have your all your weapons. You can't run.
Yeah, Ingram was.
Ingram. If Ingram's not out there fully healthy and he was limping, then you say, you know what? Let's just punt this away. And
yeah, maybe.
But the Titans, you know, kudos to the Titans again. Kudos to the Titans.
Yeah.
Because they stopped them.
It was strength on strength.
Mm-hmm.
The Baltimore Ravens' identity was we go for it on fourth downs. They went for it more on fourth downs than any team in the league. The Titans' strength is that they've played pretty well in third and short and fourth and short and goal line situations all season long. And you're at the 45-yard line, and your team hasn't really been stopped on two drives, and you go for it, and you get stopped. It happens. Strength on strength happens. And the Titans made plays, and the Ravens didn't. At some point, you just got to look at that and say, that's what it is. Dave, welcome to the show. Dave, what's up?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, I know you don't want to say that Lamar was rattled, but I will say it because I've been saying it all week. The guy is young. He is a great player. But, D-Mesh, you can speak to it. The human element, we always talk about the X's and O's and what we see on paper, but the human element is so critical in this game. And once he felt uncomfortable, then you could see him begin to disintegrate, beginning with that little dust-up with one of our old linemen. I mean, with one of our defensive linemen. He was rattled. The guy, when he was on the bench, you could see the swear words coming out of his mouth because he knew that he was in a position that made him uncomfortable. He could not do what he wanted to do. He could not get to the edge. He could not turn the corner. And that began to take its toll on him. I mean, the guy was shook. That's not to take anything away because that human element is a part of the game. So the Titans did what they needed to do as far as cause chaos and cause disruption in the heads of their opponents. I'm hoping that's what we can do because there's very few players who have that ice cold. And I don't think that Mahomes is one of those either. I've seen Mahomes at times become uncomfortable and begin to make mistakes as well. So I'm hoping we can repeat that.
That's true. He also threw for like 450 against the Titans this season. You know who didn't get shook last night? Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers on 3rd and 10 or whatever with the game on the line threw a dime to Devontae Adams in the slot fade on, you know, to win the game essentially. And that he was brilliant last night on third downs. And Matt LaFleur, again, the revenge tour for the Tennessee Titans continues as they go against their former organization. Vrabel beats his former employer, the Texans, in Week 17 to get in. Then they beat the Patriots. Basically, the entire Titans organization is from New England. They beat them in Round 1. Then they go up against their hated arch nemesis. Titans fans have had nightmares about the Baltimore Ravens, and they exercise demons in what is probably the worst loss in Baltimore Ravens franchise history. That's how big this loss was for the Ravens from their perspective. And I agree with the caller. I think, I think Lamar Jackson was a little rattled. I think he made some mistakes. He didn't play a great game, but that's because the Titans did. It wasn't because he just fell on his face or choked or whatever. It's because the Titans made plays and got into his head a little bit. And it started early with the Byard interception and how that play ended on the sideline. There's no question about it. All right. There is a national championship game, and I'm going to wrap it into the Titans weekend because I think there's a chance that we could be in store. I'm hoping and praying that we have one of the best 4 or 5 day sports weekends in Nashville sports history. I want to see if we can do that, and we'll try to explain and maybe take a look at the LSU-Clemson game tonight because there is a national championship on the line in college football. We'll do that when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.